Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Yud, Chapter 10. One of the salient features of Sefer Yirmiyahu that makes it particularly challenging to study, we've mentioned this before, is the fact that the prakim are not in chronological order. So it's hard to appreciate the flow of the events that serve as the background for Yirmiyahu's prophecies as he continually moves between time periods of the last kings of Yehuda. And one suggestion as to why the prakim are not in chronological order is that Yirmiyahu wrote his sefer in a state of great distress, after his prophecies of Churban and exile had been realized. He recorded the nevuot as he remembered them, sifting through the material in his mind and writing them down or dictating them to his student, Baruch ben Neria, as they came to him. The first 9 prakim that we've studied until now contain prophecies of destruction and exile, foreseeing the devastation of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, and offering explanations as to why such drastic measures were necessary. These are early prophecies of Yirmiyahu, relayed during the reign of Yoshiyahu. Today's parak is a little harder to pinpoint. According to many Mefarshim commentaries, it contains a later nevuah, a prophecy thought to have been delivered in the days of Tzidkiyahu, the last king of Yehuda, after a portion of the people had already been exiled under the rule of Yehoyachin. And we'll see the internal evidence for this as we study the parak. The format of the parak is also a little different from that which we've seen until now. Rather than berate the people, Yirmiyahu offers a carefully structured lesson regarding the futility of idol worship. He vacillates back and forth, describing the worthlessness of idolatry on the one hand, and then contrasting it with praise of Hashem's omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. The parak opens with an introductory call to the people. Pasuk Aleph, Shim'u et hadavar asher diber Hashem aleichem Beit Yisrael. Listen to the word that Hashem has spoken regarding you, Beit Yisrael. Although, as we mentioned, time has passed between the previous parak and this one, several of the commentaries do see a thematic relationship between the end of the last parak and this introduction. According to Rav Yosef Breuer, since the Navi had stated at the end of yesterday's parak that they would be punished alongside the uncircumcised among the nations to whom he compared them, Yisrael being arlei lev, uncircumcised of heart, as the nations are uncircumcised physically, so the people might have felt that, well, if that's to be so, if we're going to be compared to them, we may as well behave like them. So therefore, the Navi now reminds us that we are still Beit Yisrael, and therefore it behooves us not to learn from the ways of the nations. Even when we are exiled among the nations of the world, we are to maintain a distinct identity and way of life. Do not learn the ways of the nations, exhorts the prophets. Do not fear heavenly portents. Let the nations of the world be afraid of those portents. For the laws of the nations are delusions. Their gods are cut from the trees of the forest, carved by man. The craftsman adorns his creation with gold and silver, fastening it with nails to hold it steady. Pasuk hei, kitomer mikshahema, v'lo yidaberu, naso yinasu, ki lo yitzadu, al tiru mehem, ki lo yareu v'gam heitive notam. They're like scarecrows in a cucumber field, unable to speak. They have to be carried. They can't even walk. Do not fear them, for they're powerless to hurt you or to help you. In contrast, Pasuk Vav, Me'ein kamocha Hashem, gadolata ve'gadol shimcha bigvura. Hashem, there's none like you. You are great and your name is great in strength. Who would not fear you, King of all nations? That is your due, for among all wise of the nations and among all their kingdoms, there is none like you. And having established this principle of Hashem's greatness, Yirmiyahu then shifts back to his description of idolatry. Altogether, they are senseless and foolish, delusions made of wood, hammered silver from Tarshish and gold from Ufaz, the work of a craftsman's hands, bedecked in blue and purple, altogether the product of human ingenuity. In contrast, Hashem is legitimately fearsome, for he alone has the power to control all the elements. Pasuk Yud Vashem Elokim Emet, Hu Elokim Chaim Umelech Olam, Mikitzpo Tir Ash Haaretz, V'lo Yachilu Goyim Za'amo. Hashem, our God, is true. He is the living God, the eternal King. At his wrath, the earth indeed trembles. Nations cannot endure his fury. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Verse 11 is unusual among most of the books of Tanakh, for it's written in Aramaic. It is for this reason that the commentators date this prophecy to the later years of Yirmiyahu, under the reign of Tzidkiyahu, which is before the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash, but after the Babylonians had already taken a portion of the population, the king, Jehoiachin, the aristocracy, and the skilled craftsmen to Babel in captivity. Rashi and Radak, based on the Targum, explain that the Pasuk is written in Aramaic because it's the part of the text of a letter sent by Yirmiyahu to the Babylonian captives. It contains a retort that they are to deliver verbatim to their captors, who spoke Aramaic, in the event that they try to convince them to worship idolatry alongside them. And this is a phenomenon that we've heard about from our most recent national experience of captivity, in which many of the captives who were held by Hamas speak of attempts to missionize them, and how for many of them, that only served to strengthen or even ignite their faith. And Yirmiyahu anticipates this scenario, the missionizing activity of the captors, and he provides a text for strengthening the faith of the Jewish captives. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kidna Temrun Lahom, Elahaya Dishmaya Ve'arka Lo Avadu Yevadu, Me'ara Umintchot Shmaya Ele. So shall you say to them, a God who did not create heaven and earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. Meaning, your man-made gods are finite. God, the Creator, is infinite. Pasuk Yud Bet, Osei Eretz Bekocho, Meichin Tevel Bechochmato, Uvitunato Natasha Mayim. Hashem makes the earth with his power, establishes the world with his wisdom, and stretched out the heavens in his understanding. As he makes his voice heard, the water in the heavens rumbles, and he raises clouds from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning bolts with the rain and brings forth wind from his treasure house. Yirmiyahu is pointing out that rain, thunder, all of these, this sound and light show, it's not merely a force of nature. The elements, wind, rain, thunder, lightning, are brought forth by Hashem's voice, by divine providence. They're not independent forces, as the nations of the world viewed them, but elements under the control of their Creator, who continues to monitor the world and intervene at his will. And this script, if you will, is what empowered Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to defy Nebuchadnezzar's demand that they bow to his idol, resulting in a great Kiddush Hashem when they emerged unharmed from the fiery furnace into which they had been thrown, as described in Sefer Daniel. And it continues to serve as inspiration for anyone who is under pressure to bow to gods other than the true Hashem. Yirmiyahu again returns to the contrast between Hashem's great power to the powerlessness of Avodah Zarah. Pasuk Yedalid, Niv'ar kol adam mida'at, hovish kol tzoref mipasel, ki sheker nisko, velo ruach bam. Man is bereft of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by the idol he forms, for his molten image is a sham, lacking the breath of life. Hevel hema, ma'aset ta'atuim, be'et bekudatam, yovedu. They are delusions, works of mockery. On their day of reckoning, they will perish. Lo che'ele chelek Yaakov, ki yotzer hakol hu, v'Yisrael shevet nachlato, Hashem tzvakot shemo. Not like these is Hashem, the portion of Yaakov, for he formed all things, and Israel is his permanent possession. According to Radak, this is the conclusion of the letter to the exiles, which dictated their response to the captors who would try to persuade them to serve their false gods. The letter serves both to reinforce the faith of the exiles themselves and to provide a model for spreading faith in Hashem throughout the world, which is the mission of the Jews in exile. It's notable that in this pasuk, the Jewish people are referred to as both Yaakov and Yisrael. Yaakov, even when in a downtrodden state, and Yisrael, even when in a lofty position. At both extremes, we remain Nachalat Hashem, Hashem's prized possession among the nations, and we persist in our declaration that only He is our God. We will serve no other. Hashem Tzvakot Shemo. According to Malbim, this pasuk brings us back full circle to the opening of the entire parak, not just the letter, but the theme of the entire parak until now. El Derech HaGoyim Al Tilmadu. Don't learn from the ways of the nations and don't fear their gods. For Chelek Yaakov, the portion of Yaakov, is Hashem. Yotzer Hakol, the creator of everything, unlike their gods who are formed by those who serve them. The remainder of the perek is a prophecy directed at Yerushalayim, in anticipation of the siege by which she will soon be surrounded. There is a change in tone as we see Yirmiyahu once again grappling with the magnitude of the fate awaiting Yerushalayim and his prayer that the catastrophe may yet be averted. Pasuk Yud Zayin 17. Ispi me eretz kin'atech yoshevet b'matzor. Gather up your kin'ah, you who are sitting under siege. And the word kin'atech is unique in Tanakh. It has no parallel. So we have to try to understand it from the context. Most of the commentators translate as gather up your merchandise, from the same root as kna'ani, which means a merchant. So gather up your merchandise, you who are sitting besieged. Pasuk Yurchet, ki cho amar Hashem, hineni kolea et yoshvei ha'aretz b'pam hazot, v'hatzeiroti lahem leman yimtza'u. For so Hashem has spoken, behold, this time I shall fling away the inhabitants of the land, cause them to suffer, so that ultimately they will find. The text does not specify what they will find. Malbim explains that the purpose of Galut is to rediscover their connection to Hashem. The implication is they're being sent into exile in order to find Hashem, as described in Sefer Dvarim in the section that we read on Tisha B'Av. After announcing that the punishment for idol worship in Eretz Yisrael would be exile, the Torah prophesies, Uvikashtem misham et Hashem Elokecha umatzata ki tidrashenu b'chol vavcha u'b'chol nafshecha. Once exiled, we will seek Hashem and find him if our quest is wholehearted. Rashi offers an alternate explanation of the word kin'atech, an explanation that's also adopted by Malbim, which slightly alters the implication of the text. He translates kin'ah as hachna'ah, to submit, and suggests that this prophecy parallels a later perek in Yirmiyahu, perek Lamed Chet, in which the Navi advises Tzidkiyahu to submit to Nebuchadnezzar and accept the punishment of exile, which would spare the city from destruction. And the implication is that the decree of exile has become irrevocable. No measure of repentance will prevent the decree from being carried out at this late stage. So all that can be attempted is to mitigate the punishment somehow. And the Navi, having thus foreseen the inevitable destruction, laments the devastation. Pasuk Yutet, Oili al shivri nachala makati v'ani amarti ach zeh choli ve'esa'enu. Woe unto me for my devastation. My wound is severe. Yirmiyahu mourns for the nation whose leadership led them astray and who have now been severed from their homeland and scattered in exile. The cities of Yehuda are desolate, the dwelling place of jackals. And the Navi turns to Hashem, offering a plea for mercy on behalf of the people. Pasuk Chaf Gimel 23, Yadati Hashem, ki lo la'adam darko, lo le'ish holech behachinet sa'ado. I know, Hashem, that the road which man walks is not of his own choosing. The people do not direct their own steps. Yirmiyahu is acknowledging that the Churban is inevitable, but is trying to assert some merit on behalf of the people by expressing that they are victims of the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, and they were misled by their leaders. Thus, Yasreni Hashem, ach b'mishpat, al be'abcha, pen tam iteni. Discipline me, Hashem, but with justice, not with anger, lest you reduce me to nothing. And Yirmiyahu concludes with a prayer familiar to us, both from Sefer Tehillim and from the Haggadah shel Pesach. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Shfoch chamatcha al hagoyim asher lo yida'ucha, va'al mishpachot asher b'shimcha lo kara'u, ki achlu et Yaakov, va'achaluhu, va'yichaluhu ve'et navehu heishamu. Pour out your wrath upon the nations that do not know you, on those clans who do not call in your name, for they have consumed Yaakov, devoured him, and laid waste to his homeland. Rav Yosef Breuer explains that Yirmiyahu is speaking to the root cause of anti-Semitism. You, Hashem, must punish the nations of the world for their persecution of the Jewish people, for it stems from their denial of you, asher lo yida'ucha, b'shimcha lo kara'u. They destroyed the Beit HaMikdash as the physical abode of Hashem in this world, and they pursue the Jewish people because we represent Hashem's continued presence in the world. Therefore, we ask that Hashem defend his own name by destroying those who attempt to destroy us. Thank you for learning together. L'refuah shleima, Leonina Sima bat Dafna Hinda, Jennifer hayikara shelanu, v'lipitzuei tzahal, achenu hayikarim, b'toch sha'ar chole Yisrael. Nina v'chaim Schenker.